AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions. We're in your fields and by your side. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. New crop corn and soybean futures made new contract highs in the overnight session and are holding on to those gains, at least for the most part. Old crop markets are trading well off session highs. We are going to answer your survey questions and get an update on the Costco chickens.
Live from April's Emergence via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with Lance Honig from USDA NASS. Then we chat with Jessica Coulterman, Lincoln Premium Poultry. And right after the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, Lincoln Premium Poultry provides the chickens for Costco. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly, you know, the first time that we talked with Jessica, we could say that it's a new operation there outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. Yes. You can't say that it's a new operation any longer. They've been up and running for a while. Jessica's been there the whole time from groundbreaking until now. And we're going to get an update from Jessica on how things are going there. You know, honestly, Davis, I'll bet I have Jessica and the operation out there at Lincoln has hopped into my head at least a dozen times over the last dozen months.
Okay.
Just simply because of the disruptions that we've all experienced and the workforce management issues and so on and so forth and everything that goes in to keeping that place up and running. So we're going to get an update from Jessica. I think, and not only that, not only an update on how things mm-hmm. have gone, mm-hmm. but we're going to do a little bit of forward thinking. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Find out if there's anything in the plans.
Is there a correlation between you having chicken for supper and thinking of Jessica, perhaps? Is there something to that? Is that what triggers it for you?
Well, you know, I'm looking back and thinking, and you know, there might be something there.
Fair enough. Okay.
Not exactly sure. 12 chicken for supper 12 times in the last 12 months. That might be about right.
I had chicken for lunch yesterday.
Did
you? Attaboy, Joe.
And the reason is because the picture made it look good on the menu at the drive-thru.
That's right. How they get you.
The only reason.
And how did that work out for you?
Actually, not bad. Not bad.
Oh, good.
Solid six.
Did you think of Jessica? Did it make you think of Jessica?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, see? That's,
well, I'm not saying there is a correlation. I'm just trying to flesh this out.
You're just curious.
I got to know.
Lance Honig is going to be joining us as well. We've got some questions about the data that was released from his office yesterday, the quarterly grain stocks report and the prospective plantings report. We'll dig into some of those details. Okay, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, in case you missed it, everyone, USDA's prospective plantings report yesterday showed lower than expected acreage for both corn and soybeans. Some note, dry weather since late last year and extreme cold in February appear to have weighed on acreage intentions. But commodity prices and crop insurance guarantees argue for more plantings than USDA estimated, others say. USDA put corn plantings at 91.1 million in 2021 and soybeans at 87.6 million acres. Chip, both corn and beans limit up yesterday.
Yep.
Currently, I'm looking at 5 to 6 cent gains. Looks like new crop corn up about 8 cents. Soybeans went the other way. Nearby is down as much as 11 cents. And then we get out to the September and we begin to flip positive, where the November beans are now 11 cents higher on the day.
Right. Yep. Yeah, even though soybeans all ended up the same amount yesterday, up the 70-cent limit, it was led by that new crop contract, and it's because of the prospective plantings. And this is a little bit of a preview to the answer that we're going to get to from Lance, but this is a survey of producer intentions. It's not really an estimate. So this is just the survey results. So everything that's being questioned mm-hmm. should be taken into account because it's producers telling NAS what they intend to do.
Yeah. Right. Well, President Joe Biden unveiled part one of his two-part infrastructure package yesterday. National Economic Council Director Brian Deese said, quote, "The American Jobs Plan is a historic capital investment in America, and our metric of success will be, can we make a generational investment?" Deese noted capital gains provisions would come with the second part of the plan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she hopes to have the measure cleared through the House by the 4th of July. All eyes on that, those capital gains provisions, Chip.
Yeah, well, you know, can we make a generational investment? Of course we can. Mm-hmm. Of course we can. The real trick here, Mr. Deese, is getting a return on that investment. That's what will determine the success. That's the metric of success.
Well, Chip, on average, U.S. farmers received 14.3 cents for farm commodity sales from each dollar spent on domestically produced food in 2019. That's up from 14.2 cents in 2018. Known as the farm share, this amount increased slightly after seven consecutive years of decline. Here, this will interest you. The White House has requested EPA explore whether the use of renewable fuels to power electric vehicle charging should generate renewable identification numbers, or RINs. This, according to Reuters. The report said the RINs would be generated from charging vehicles with electricity produced using renewable sources, such as methane that could be captured from dairy operations or landfills. Huh.
Yeah. Good idea. I mean, take a look at it. I don't know if it fits with the original charter of the RFS or not, and I'm sure that that will be debated, but we can take a look at that one, sure.
For sure. Quickly here, oil ministers from OPEC member states meet today to decide on whether to boost production or maintain current output cuts. It's thought they'll probably maintain current output cuts. And finally, the National Association of Realtors reported Wednesday its index of pending home sales fell 10.6% in February. Demand is high, supply is low for new home sales. Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
I'm great, Chip. Good morning.
Good morning. Take us back out to Colorado. What is going on now?
So I'm going to tell you why people are calling Colorado now Eastern California, and there's a new proposal called the 2022 Ballot Initiative called the PAWS Act, which would revamp the code on animal cruelty, defining as sex acts many common farming practices like embryo transfer, artificial insemination, bull breeding soundness exams. This proposal originated with the animal rights group Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. And the governor's office, the Secretary of State's office, I should say, gave the ballot initiative organizers the go-ahead to start collecting signatures. They need about 125,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Chip, they don't think that's going to be hard to do. The proposal would remove the livestock exemption in the state statute for animal cruelty, and that would also defining the animal's age, saying that animals should be allowed to live one quarter of their normal lifespan. And for cattle, that's 20 years, which means no animal could go to slaughter before it's 5 years old.
Right. This is...
And so they've asked the governor for help, and the governor, Polis, said he agrees with farmers, and the ballot initiative would hurt Colorado and destroy jobs.
All right, Greg, we got to go. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk more about that later.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ClaraFly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
You're AgriTalk is brought to you by FMC Strong. Early season defenses against seedling insects and soil diseases are key to a season you will consider a success at harvest. Learn more at infuro.ag.fmc.com.
Okay, I'll admit, you left me a little nervous at the end of segment one there. There's a couple of things. Number one, I don't think you pulled any jokes on me in segment one.
Oh, don't you?
No, I don't think you did. Then we get to the end of it, and Henderson's talking about this PAWS Act in Colorado, and we got to the end of it, and all of a sudden I thought, wait a second, did he just pull an April Fool's joke on us with that story? Because it seems so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's... I go back to my intern days at WMT in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, okay, where it was the intern's job to pull a trick on the news director, Don Wilson. I got Don to read a story about the DNR, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, spotting whales in the Mississippi River. Okay, I got him to read it on the air. So I Googled PAWS Act, and it's real.
It's a thing, yeah.
It's a thing. Protect animals from unnecessary suffering and exploitation. PAWS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is now Initiative 16 in Colorado. So pay attention to that, you guys.
Colorado is East California. Yeah.
East California. I loved it. Loved it. All right. Here's another joke. It's going to be between 32 and 34 degrees at 120 this afternoon at Wrigley Field when we start the new season.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I say sack up the bats. Let's try again next week. Try again next week, boys. All right.
There's a game to play. I remember sitting at Wrigley Field opening day. It must have been 1989, I'm going to say. And we had a snow delay.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, which could happen.
I worked the game for the South Bend Cubs, and we got snowed out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely nuts, man.
This is why I don't follow baseball.
Is that why?
This is why. Yep.
The weather is why you don't follow baseball.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Let's bring in Lance Honing. He is the chief of the crops branch at USDA. Lance, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Chip. I wondered if I should be worried that you're having me on here today on April 1st, but I guess we'll see.
Well, I'll admit, a Twitter prank is one of the things that got me thinking about April Fool's jokes, because I don't know if you saw it or not, but at VSDA, because it looks similar to USDA, tweeted out this morning that there was an error with the soybean prospective plantings estimate, and we will be reissuing later. It caught a few people's attention.
Yeah, I have to admit, a couple of major news sources have reached out to me this morning to see if indeed that was true. The rumor has actually expanded beyond that to, specifying exactly what the error is. So I guess, Rumors are rumors. April Fool's is April Fool's. But the reality is there's no error. The report stands, and forward we go.
Holy smokes. I didn't realize that it had gotten to that level, Lance. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know that it was officially rumor stage on this. I thought it was just people understood that it was just a joke. Wow.
You'd probably be amazed at the number of rumors that circulate just about every time. So
sure, absolutely. How are you? Everything okay?
Doing well, Chip. Glad to be on.
Good. I'm glad that you're here. Let's start with the quarterly grain stocks report. You know, in January when we got the December 1 stocks tallies, there were some revisions to past stocks data announced. We've documented that. We've talked about that on the show. Were there any revisions to the past data announced yesterday?
So there were some small revisions. Corn, soybeans, wheat all had some, relatively minor revisions to the December quarter. And kind of like we talked about before, that's built into the process. And this time, much like typically has been the case, it was strictly based on late and or updated reports that we got directly from, you know, individuals who either had reported previously and needed to make a small adjustment to what they sent in, or in many cases, reports, again, that just came in from back in December, but they came in too late. They came in after we, you know, put the January report out. And so when we get new information like that, we run it back through the system, update those numbers. So this is, you know, part of the normal process, completely different to the conversation we had back in September. When we made some additional revisions, you know, based on some balance sheet review and things of that nature. So none of that going on, literally updated information, just feeding it through the system, keeping everything as up to date and accurate as possible.
Gotcha. Okay. Every time we get a grain stocks report, there's this conversation about bushels in transit.
Yep.
And well, you know, because we've got such a big export, effort going underway right now, there's more bushels than normal that are in transit. How do those in transit bushels, whether they be on a train, a truck, a barge, whatever, how do they get counted?
So that's a pretty simple answer to that one. They don't. And so that's why the in transit bushels become a big deal if there's anything going on that's, you know, out of the ordinary, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be that might cause more bushels to be in transit. You know, that's the problem with when you're talking about estimates that have a, you know, a specific reference date.
Right.
Right. And so you got to be kind of careful about that. And that's the other reason that you got to be careful about looking at just one quarter if you're trying to evaluate a balance sheet. I had some questions yesterday, you know, on soybeans, folks looking at just the December to February period, you know, looking at movement and how the disappearance with the stocks numbers looked compared to that. But, you know, you got to look back over history, and a lot of times that second quarter does look a little funny if you only look at the second quarter. But if you look at where things stand, you know, going back first quarter all the way to date, even soybeans looks pretty good. So, specific dates can catch on things like bushels in transit, just how things get recorded through the various systems, whether it's exports, whether it's, you know, crushing numbers, whatever it might be. You know, a couple of days, you know, can make a big difference when you're talking about the volumes that are moving these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the in-transit bushels, your number was about 60, 65 on corn for March 1 stock, 60, 65 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess, which on corn, when we're talking about 7-plus billion bushels, I mean, the trade was right. The trade was right in their anticipation of your number.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're never going to sit dead on. You know, you've got to, there's a lot of different ways you can slice and dice it. And so once you actually measure things up, like you say, in the grand scheme of things, that's close. That's
you
real
bet.
Close.
Absolutely it is. Let's jump over to the prospective plantings report. Start with total acres. It's planted to principal crops, 316.2 million, up about 6 million from last year. But some are saying that it leaves 3 to 3.5 million acres unaccounted for. And Davis had it in the news. You know, there's people that are saying that the acres are short. We need to have more acres. What's the process? And the reason is because they expect all that 10 million prevent plant acres to come back from a year ago, I think.
Right. Well, and if you look at the, you know, principal crops as a whole, you know, the 3 million acres that's being thrown around out there, that's because if you go back to, 15, 16, 17, 18, all four of those years, I mean, that total was just as close to 319 about as you can get, right? And right now we're looking at, you know, 316.2. So is there opportunity for more acres out there? Sure there is. But yeah, you're a process guy, and that's what this really comes down to is the process is we survey farmers, we ask farmers, hey, it's early March, how many acres do you intend to plant to these various crops? And that is the information that drives the numbers that came out in the report yesterday.
Right.
And what the farmers told us is that across those crops, it's 316.2 million.
Yep. Got about a minute left here, Lance. How did the March intentions line up with final plantings historically?
So typically they're pretty darn close, and the biggest changes that you see tend to be on the downward side, and that's because of years like last year, the year before, when you run into planting problems and, you know, intentions aren't realized. But if you look across those crops the last 10 years, you know, outside of planting problem years, those differences are usually 0.5% or less. Yeah. And so if past performance is any indication of, you know, what's going to happen this year, then you really wouldn't see a lot of upward potential based on what farmers told us. There's some,
gotcha. Yep.
But
yep.
Not probably as much as what a lot of people are thinking. But time will tell. We'll go back out in June and find out.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Start fresh again with another survey in June. Lance, it is always great to talk with you. Thank you, man.
I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
You bet. That's Lance Honig, Chief of the Crops Branch at USDA's NASS. All right, coming up next, we're going to get an update on the chicken processing out there at Lincoln Premium Poultry.
The best value in pasture horn fly control just got better. Altosid IGR is now priced at just 2 to 3 cents per head per day. This insect growth regulator passes through cattle and into manure, where horn flies lay eggs, preventing adults from emerging to interfere with cattle health, production, and profitability. And unlike ear tags and sprays, Altosid IGR is part of your supplement, eliminating the time and effort of gathering your cattle. Ask for Altosid IGR by name at your feed dealer, or visit AltosidIGR.com to learn more about protecting your cattle for only $4.50 per animal per season.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, the influence of that 87.6 million acre bean planting prospective plantings number, it's really showing up in the market today, isn't it?
Yeah, but first things first, today's opening day and the Cubs open at 1:20 Central Time against the Ship Robbers. So, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, your question on beans, yeah, we're seeing huge spreading action so far this morning. New crop trading to the upside in follow through to yesterday. But we're seeing the old crop contracts now under some pressure and the May contract leading us down. So, I think there's some concern there about the seasonally slowing export demand pace. And we, you know, we can talk about exports forever. We're going to get the USDA's number, but I think the market concern right now is that we are seeing, you know, smaller and smaller weekly sales numbers.
Gotcha. Yeah. Take us over to the livestock trade because, you know, with feed backing off a little bit, it's helping this feeder cattle market out, but it just got hurt hard yesterday. Feeder cattle did, right?
Yeah. Price recovery there. That you look at deferred live cattle futures, they pushed out to new highs. We're trading with a mixed tone this morning, but they have pushed out to new highs, and you know, so that market's just fundamentally strong. The cash market's strengthening again this week. The hog market, you want to talk about fundamentally strong, and you know, just continues to push out to new contract highs there as well. Strength across the livestock markets with somewhat of a mixed tone in live cattle this morning.
Got it. All right. Thanks, buddy. Go Cubs, go.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
It starts with a plan. That's why America's Conservation Ag Movement is inviting you to get your farm business ready for 2021 with a free resource stewardship planning guide. Get your free guide today at agweb.com/ACAM.
All right. Welcome back.
Are we on?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it still working?
Be careful because it is.
Better check Twitter. Is it?
Okay. We're good.
I wasn't sure if maybe we'd started tomorrow today. You know,
no.
Get a jump on things a little bit.
No.
Is that?
We're just
no?
fine. We're fine right where we're at. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. At the end of the last segment with Lance Honig from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, he got to the, you know, the explanation of how'd you come up with that number? The explanation of that question is in the process. And I know that isn't the answer that a lot of people want or are willing to accept, many times. Now, because we got a limit up yesterday, it was pretty easy to accept it. If it would have been a limit down, there would have been all kinds of screaming and hollering about how did they come up with that. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of it. I get it. I appreciate it. And I respect it. But it's the process that is used at NASS to get the bullish numbers that were released yesterday is no different than if we would have gotten numbers that would have driven the market's limit down. There's just no difference.
It's a good point. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get an update of what's going on out at Lincoln Premium Poultry from Jessica Coulterman. Jessica, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm good. Always good to talk with you guys as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the start of the show, I said, you know, over the last 12 months, I probably thought of you a dozen times, Jessica, just because of what you're, you know, what dealing with the disruptions of 2020, whether it be on feeding, on processing, on labor, on product moving through the store. It had to be a heck of a challenging year in 2020.
Well, and on top of that, we opened at the end of 2019.
Right.
So we were barely open, and then a global pandemic. So our growth period here has been in the midst of COVID. In fact, our second shift started and coincided with the onset of COVID. So we've had a lot of curveballs thrown, but I think we've done a really good job of navigating through it. I'm not going to say we've been perfect, but we've certainly tried to, you know, focus on, we had three pillars that we wanted to focus on at dealing with the pandemic. First one was just take care of our people. That's it. Right. Like that's the, you know, the number one. And then the other two were transparency and communication. So, you know, be transparent with our employees and with the public, and then also just communicate and make sure you're providing regular updates and keeping the flow of communication open all the time. So I think we've done a good job of meeting those three goals and everything we've done around those philosophies. It's certainly been a once in a lifetime experience, let's say that. But our people have just been very resilient and are doing very well. We're very proud of them.
Good, good, good. You know, we should probably step back for just a second, Jessica, and get a 30, 60-second history lesson on Lincoln Premium Poultry to get everybody up to speed with the operation out there. Do that for us.
Sure. Lincoln Premium Poultry is the poultry company founded by Costco. And we, the Costco came out and decided they wanted to build this in Nebraska. We have a 450,000 square foot building plant. We have a feed mill. We have a hatchery. And we are now fully operational and up to full production. And then the product, the chickens that we put out, go to the Costco stores. Additionally, we have a network of about 100 farm families in the region who raised those chickens for us that feed into our operation. So it's a pretty large endeavor, about 1,100 employees here at the, you know, within the complex with the feed mill, the hatchery, and the plant, and then also our partnership with our farms. So it was a fun undertaking. I think we were all, most of us who got involved with it didn't really know what we were getting into, but I guess that's what builds character, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've got plenty of it then. Talk about the product coming out, because those chickens are the chickens are sorted pretty hard based on quality. Highest quality birds go one direction, and the still high quality, but maybe just a little lower quality, go in another direction, right?
Right. So anybody that's gone to a Costco store knows that the rotisserie chicken is this premium thing that people flock to at the back of the store. And so those rotisserie birds are, I'll call them, I refer to them as like our perfect birds. They're the birds that come through that are just the right size. They're about 6 pounds. They don't have any blemishes, bruises, broken wings, broken legs, anything. So then that's about 40% of our birds. The other 60% are also grade A, but they might have a blemish. They might have a broken wing. So then those birds get cut up and they get put into the Costco Saddle Pack, which is a six-pocketed package. And those are our boneless, skinless breasts, thighs, tenders, drumsticks, you know, all the parts and pieces of a chicken that are sold in the store.
Yeah, excellent. It's a innovative way of moving product, and Costco moves a lot of it. There's no question about that. So get us up to today, and you mentioned earlier that employee workforce health safety top priority for you. What were you doing just before you hopped on the phone with us?
Well, we ran an in-house vaccination clinic this morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. So I was excited to come on and visit with you guys, but I was like, I can't do it before 10:15 because, you know, we had lots of shots to put in arms. But we went through a second shot for about 175 people this morning, and then I was able to get another 25 to get their first shots, some people who hadn't gotten their first shots yet. And so this is our second in-house vaccination clinic. And we'll be having a third for another group. And, you know, we're just going to keep chipping away at it. We're approaching that 50% mark. So 50%, almost 50% of our employees have been fully vaccinated. And we're just going to keep at it. You know, I know there's vaccine hesitancy everywhere, but I think our people have been really receptive. And, you know, for a while they were just like, when can we get it? How do we get it? You know, so we've helped them navigate from the very beginning. We actually got our 65-year-old done all the way back in February, just as soon as was possible to do that. So we're happy to get them that access to the vaccine, get them protected.
Right, right. The whole pandemic and dealing with the workforce and the challenges that it presented, the COVID-19 presented for maintaining a healthy workforce, it's changing that relationship between company and employee, especially in agriculture, I think, Jessica.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, from my perspective, I've always, you know, I'm a pretty approachable person, and I've tried to have really close relationships with our employees, but there's also 1,100 people. And I said, I guess if there's a silver lining in this pandemic, it's that I've gotten to know some of our people much better because they've needed that help and support at various times in the last year. And so whether they had a family member who had COVID and they just wanted to know how to navigate the system to get a test or where to go to the doctor or, you know, those types of things, or if they had themselves had COVID or a child, a spouse, you know, it's just, yep. We've tried to support our team members every single way that we could think of. You know, we help them get the packets from the schools because they, you know, they're at work. They can't go drive to a school to get them. We've sent home food with them. Because we have our relationship with Costco, we got them access to toilet paper. Anything we could think of that supported our team members through this process. You know, we've tried to do, and, you know, at times we've become their advocate when they've been, we've had people who've been sick. We go to the doctor with them and help ask questions and help, you know, guide them through a process that maybe they aren't super familiar with. So we've tried to show them that we support them when they're ill and that we want them to get better. Like, that's the goal. Gotcha. Not make them feel, I guess, guilty that they got sick, because this was such a unique, you know, situation. And so, you know, if you're sick, stay home, and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Little business talk here real quick, Jessica.
Sure.
Is there any indication on the demand for the product that you guys are producing there at Lincoln Premium Poultry that that the consumer confidence is coming back?
Well, we've never had any problem with getting any of our product bought. I mean, we can't put out enough chicken. You know, I'll never forget, like, in the middle of the pandemic when people were buying meat like crazy, Costco calling us and asking us, like, well, you know, is there anything we can do to get more product faster? Because it's just flying off the shelves. And, you know, there's not, you know, you only have a certain number of chickens that can be processed on certain days. But, you know, the reality is I think we do have a shift away from maybe restaurants and eating out. And maybe there's going to be more of a focus on people accustomed to eating at home. Maybe they learned to cook during the pandemic. Maybe they just got accustomed to not spending all that extra money on fast food or your restaurants. Right. But I think, you know, the demand for our product, which is sold through the Costco warehouses, is very strong. And I think it'll continue to be for a very long time.
Jessica, I always enjoy our conversations. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good luck to you over there.
All right. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for having me. Have a good
Excellent.
Day.
Excellent. You bet. That is Jessica Coulterman from Lincoln Premium Poultry, obviously out in Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay, Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in a moment.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Sack of clothes, free and easy down the road I go. Hanging memories.
Put me in, coach. That's what this bump should have been.
Yeah.
Put me in, coach. Ready to play.
Ready to play.
All right. Man. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. It is opening day. There's more than a few of us that get a little excited about it. Jim Wiesmeyer is one of them, except his team isn't going to play tonight.
Yeah.
They had five players confirmed with a COVID.
Oh, they've got the V, do they? The virus?
Yes, they do. That's what it sounds like anyway. So, yeah, Nationals game isn't going to happen tonight. But I don't know. You know, we're... We're going to be talking about the weather this afternoon with Ed Valley from Empire Weather.
Timely.
Absolutely. But you know that I'll admit I might be a bit distracted during the show.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. You got your TV right there in the broadcast bunker, do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I do. Of course. Got to keep up with things. Got to keep up with life. Things happen quick, Davis.
Well, and if baseball is life, I guess that makes sense, you know?
Sure. Just depends on what channel you're watching. That's what it comes down to.
It was good talking to Jessica. Good talking to Jessica. I like that whole setup that they've got going over there with the Costco and, you know, I mean, it just seems like such a seamless way to go about producing and marketing chicken.
Yeah, that's I tell you, one of the reasons that I keep going back to Jessica for an update on what is going on out there is you do wonder if that is going to be how if that isn't the formula for the protein industry going forward. Production tied to processing, tied to outlet, tied to distribution. Right. And, you know, Costco is in that unique situation because of the way that they market a big number of those quote-unquote perfect birds. That rotisserie, you talk to people that use that shop at Costco, and they can't get enough of that rotisserie chicken, Davis.
Yeah. Yep,
it's pretty fascinating. I mean, if you go to Costco, you're coming out with one or two or five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of how it works. The simple fact that they had to control the quality of those rotisserie birds so much that they invested in the plant and the workforce and the farmers, the 100 farmers that are raising birds to be processed for these Costco plants. I just find it fascinating that that's how we go. You know, you look at it in the pork industry and in the beef industry, there are some brand names and I think brands and the ability to say, you know what, I only buy from Flory Ranch because, doggone it, that's the best beef or pork or whatever there is. That I think is going to become more popular going forward. And if it does, you gotta look at what's happening at Lincoln Premium Poultry as kind of a template that may be followed going forward. Yeah. It's interesting, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and that a setup like that, I don't know, maybe it doesn't. Feels like it takes the whole country of origin label off the table. Like, you know what? I think I kind of know where these chickens came from.
That's a good point, Davis.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's that consumer's desire to have a relationship with the source of their food.
Well, yeah, if it's not just a branded product, but the source is the brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you kind of sidestep that whole issue.
Yeah. There you go. That's exactly right. The source is the brand. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. That makes sense. Hey, I want to, I already mentioned that we're going to have a conversation with Ed Valley this afternoon. Talking weather. And after we, after the prospective plantings report that we got yesterday with the lower than expected corn plantings, lower than expected soybean plantings, it puts a special sort of emphasis on the weather now. Basically, what Lance was saying when I said, okay, how do the March intentions historically compare with final plantings? The bottom line that he said was, well, it's up to the weather.
But
the March intentions typically will – They may not give you the high water mark of the year, but they're at least going to be in the neighborhood of the high water mark. It's hard to add on acres at this time of the year, regardless of what the weather does. Now, you get really wet conditions, and obviously that is that makes it easier to lose acres from the March intentions. So, yeah, it's going to be great to talk with Ed Valley this afternoon. But, Davis,
yes.
You know, we got markets are closed tomorrow. That means we are pre-recording AgriTalk for tomorrow, both morning and afternoon. And tomorrow morning, you guys, we got together Greg Henderson from Drovers. We had Scott McGregor and Circe Peoples. Scott's a cattle producer in Iowa. Circe, Central Feed Yards down in Texas. We had Iowa Cattlemen's Association CEO Matt Deppe and National Cattlemen's Beef Association VP for Governmental Affairs Ethan Lane, and we talked market transparency. And you guys, wait until you hear this conversation that's coming your way tomorrow morning on AgriTalk. It's as insightful a conversation on market transparency as I've ever been involved in. I cannot wait.
So much cattle talk, the show's got horns, from what I understand.
That's right. It's beef-flavored. All right, come back this afternoon. Ed Valley, Empire Weather.